The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Monday already, and just remarkable how fast things go. I must say the weather in the Northwest, at least down in Oregon and Northern California, has been extraordinary. Spring, for weeks and weeks, just amazing. 70 degrees today, perfect weather. No chemtrails, no spraying, nothing. Lots of vaping going on, though. Millions of Americans continuing to vape. The latest CDC updated cases are 2,051 known cases, 39 dead. This was 4 days ago. It's the latest we have. Dr. Henry Nyman is back to do another extraordinary update on this issue of vaping, lung damage, and death. It's a big story, and you won't find it on the front page of most news outlets, but we cover it here for you. Hello, Henry. Welcome back. Thank you for being here, as always.
Hello, Jeff. It's good to be back. And as you said, there's been some major developments that kind of came out Friday afternoon. And yeah. There has been some news coverage on it. But there's details that came out in actually two early release MMWRs. And they kind of targeted the group that had been using THC, and for the first time, they kind of got a culprit identified that is causing the lung damage, at least in the group that's using THC.
THC group, yeah,
right. But and they are the largest group. I mean the percent that did nicotine only has varied, has actually gotten a little bit smaller. As of Friday, it was 11%. It was as high as almost 20%. So it's always been between 10 and 20. It's sliding down a little bit, but they haven't really addressed that group. And it's a little unclear exactly how solid that group is. The vapors would say that that's what percent is lying, and that essentially all of the cases involve THC, and the nicotine only aren't telling the truth. There's some evidence that really counteracts that, and that was with a very limited amount of lab testing that was done with the nicotine only group, and did find that they were negative for THC in their urine. They suggested they were telling the truth, and these cases tended to be kind of the group that the vaping was supposed to be for. These would be generally were older cases, which comes through in the data on the deaths. That the median age of the deaths are actually in the 40s, which is quite a bit higher than the general population that's vaping. And several of those cases that did die kind of fits the profile. They're former smokers, and they were looking to switch so that they didn't have to smoke cigarettes. From the cigarettes, they were kind of addicted to nicotine, and so they switched over to vaping. And in spite of switching to vaping, they ended up dying, and they had the characteristic CAT scans of their lungs. They had the ground glass opacity that's in the definition by the CDC. And they were included in the totals because they basically met the case definition. And just to back up a little bit and kind of remind your listeners, when this first started showing up, the CDC basically created a case definition. So that essentially says that to be classified as a case, they had to meet certain criteria, and
right.
What one was, they had to have been vaping in the last most of the emphasis has been ones that have been vaping in the 3 months prior to developing this condition, which generally leads to hospitalization and some cases 39 that have been
a quick question
that died. Go ahead.
How many cases do you think are out there right now in hospital who are actually vaping damage cases that are under the radar? They're not being picked up. How common might this
be? Well, I think that most of the ones that are under the radar aren't yet in the hospital, that they basically have damage. They haven't really gotten sick enough to go to the doctor
right.
and not improve
right.
and then go to the hospital.
Makes perfect sense. Yep.
And as a result, they're definitely flying under the radar. Now, earlier, there would be cases that would be flying under the radar because this wasn't recognized as a problem, and there hadn't been a case definition. And a couple
right.
of examples of those came up with the Mayo Clinic study. And what the Mayo Clinic did was to have pathologists look at the lung tissue under the microscope to see what that looked like. And they didn't see so much of, evidence of lipids in the lung tissue. They just saw this severe lung damage that would be characteristic of, some type of chemical exposure. But when they, put their cases together, they looked at the database of the various Mayo Clinic facilities throughout the country, and they did a search for vaping, and they did come up with a couple cases that were in the one was 42, one was 44, I believe they were both from Minnesota, but they had said in their intake that they had switched from smoking cigarettes to vaping, and that they had come up with this this problem with breathing, and they had all the same characteristics of the current cases, except these were several years ago. The one was in 2016, one was in 2017. And they would be examples of cases that were under the radar, that they were sick enough to come in and be hospitalized. And, at the time, they just assumed that they had problems that were due to the fact that they, you know, had been smoking for a while and they had switched over to this vaping, and they didn't really pay that much attention to the vaping. They just figured that these were problems from their prior cigarette smoking. Uh-huh. But part of the case definition, which is new, I mean, the case definition was just, you know, created this year. The ground glass opacities is one of the criteria. The other right. is just plain X-rays, but
okay.
you have to have pneumonia.
Quick question on that. This is important. The ground glass opacity, which shows up in MRIs or CAT scans of the lungs, is not ground glass, just for those of you who may not know that. But is there a link between the vitamin E acetate and the ground glass opacity that shows up in these CAT scan X-rays?
Not,
do we have any linkage there?
Well, here's what the linkage is. The linkage, and the CDC had kind of hinted that they were going in this direction. And that was one of the two MMWRs that came out on Friday. And that was, a description of how they were actually, getting, lung material. They're called bronchoalveolar lavage. They just call them BALs. And that's where they're actually withdrawing fluid from the lung. And they were looking at the fluid from the lungs of, actually 29 cases in 10
right.
different states.
Right.
And when they looked, they had developed assays for various potential compounds that, that they thought might be added to the THC. And one of the compounds was vitamin E acetate, and they were looking at, a derivative of that was what the assay was. And, they did find vitamin E acetate in the BAL, the lavage, the fluid they took from the lungs, in all 29 cases. So they looked at 29 cases and they were able to pick up the vitamin E acetate, or at least, the degraded product from vitamin E acetate in all
right.
29 cases. Now, these cases were all THC cases. And so that this was kind of identifying the culprit for the problems. And what they know about vitamin E acetate is there's several things that go hand in hand. And that's why 29 out of 29 sounds conclusive, but the issue is there are other things that are possibilities, and that all goes along with THC usage, because THC is hydrophobic. And
all
so is vitamin
all
E
THC.
Acetate.
So nicotine
Correct.
People are apparently, if I can use the term, safe in that case. That's interesting. All right, so we've got vitamin E acetate. Apparently certified as a real problem. What other
right.
areas are they looking at? You mentioned just a moment ago there are other factors that could be involved in these lung damage cases that look like World War I exposure to some kind of battlefield gas, mustard gas.
Correct.
It's a burning
Correct.
Of the lungs.
Right. So they have found the vitamin E acetate in these cases, but you know, they don't really have a model that shows that vitamin E acetate will cause the type of damage that they're
uh-huh.
seeing. And so the CDC has said that they need to have some animal models where they can basically see if they add just vitamin E acetate to, you know, a lab rat or whatever the target is, whether they can create this type of damage from the vitamin E acetate. And it's not 100% clear that they can't, because, you know, the question came up that they said, well, of these 29 cases, they all had vitamin E acetate, and most of them had THC. And so they did a teleconference on Friday before the MMWR came out. The MMWRs, both of them were under embargo, and they weren't released until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. They had a teleconference at 11:30, and you know, the way these things work, the reporters would generally get the MMWRs ahead of time so they could write their stories, but they couldn't really reveal any of the information until 1 o'clock in the afternoon when the MMWRs came out. But they had, you know, a chance to read both of these ahead of time. And so you could listen to the questions that came up in the teleconference to get an idea of what was in the MMWR.
Sure.
And actually,
sure,
if you were on the list, you could actually see the MMWRs before the embargo expired, but you couldn't really, you know, write about it or publish what it had before 1 o'clock. So from the reporters' questions, one thing that came, one of the questions they asked was, well, how come you didn't find THC in 100% of the cases? You know, in all 29, you got vitamin E acetate in all 29, but you don't have THC in all 29.
Right.
And they said, well, that's really related to how long these compounds stay in the lung. That the THC gets cleared fairly quickly. So by the time they did the BAL, they may not have detectable THC. They said, you know, the assay for detecting THC is just a urine assay, not going in and doing a BAL of bronchoalveolar lavage. Taking fluid out of the lung is a much simpler assay, and it stays detected in the urine for a considerably longer period of time. So the fact that they couldn't detect THC in the lung in the BAL from all 29 patients really has to do with how quickly the THC gets cleared from the lung. And they said, in contrast to that, the vitamin E acetate hangs around. It gets in the lungs and it kind of coats the lungs, and it has the potential for creating these breathing difficulties. But
of course,
you know, but they couldn't say that it causes the type of damage that they see. You know, so they could say, we found vitamin E acetate in 29 out of 29 of the THC cases.
Uh-huh.
And that's an indication that, you know, all 29 of these patients were exposed to vitamin E acetate. And that's important because they had looked at the various THC products that had been used by the cases. They had interviewed the cases and they said, you know, what exactly were you vaping? And actually, the majority of them were doing both. They were vaping nicotine and THC. But they found that about a little under 50% of the cases had vitamin E acetate in whatever they turned over and said, this is what I was using, you know, when I ended up getting you know, had symptoms that ended up in the hospital. And they could find vitamin E acetate in about 47% was the latest number. And the percentage of vitamin E acetate in each of those samples, it was widely varied. It was down, I think, around 30-some-odd percent up to 70-some-odd percent. So there was a considerable amount of variation. And that's one of the things they warned about. They warned about getting product from, you know, casual type forces. So they either got it from a friend or, that they were prepackaged, but they weren't, necessarily, well, they definitely weren't from a, you know, a state repository where PAC is legal, you know, like Colorado or Oregon. They were in general not getting it from those locations. They were getting it from, a friend or some other casual source, and they didn't really know exactly what they were getting. So, you know, top at the high on the list of what not to vape is THC from a casual source. Now, the reason I said it's complex is, a couple of the deaths in Oregon reported that they did get it from the repository, that that's where they got their THC samples from. And in other states had kind of said the same thing, that they were at least told that the product they were getting came from Colorado or it came from Oregon and it was from a licensed store. And so it sounded like, you know, it was, you know, unlikely to have, I mean, the licensed stores obviously aren't going to be putting vitamin E acetate in. The vitamin E acetate is being put in to cut the product. So it basically has a starting material and then they dilute it with vitamin E acetate. Like I said, it's also hydrophobic. And so they have, the THC will be soluble, in the product with or without the vitamin E acetate.
All right. So I don't want people to begin to think that, and a lot of people would like to, all right, we figured it out. Vitamin E acetate is it. No, it's not it. It's one factor that appears to be now solidly identified. That's the good news. Secondly, right. As we slide into the break, write this down. You got your pen ready? Henry?
Yeah.
O-R-Y-G-U-N.
Oh, shit. What was the ring got? The first two letters?
O-R-Y-G-U-N. Pronounce that.
Oregon?
There you go. Just having a little fun with you. It's not Oregon. It's Oregon.
Oregon. Okay.
Oregon.
I gotcha.
Right. I'm sorry. I couldn't resist. Okay. Back in a flash with Dr. Henry Nyman, PhD. Okay, let's get right back to Henry. The issues of health are always critical, and here's a little quickie for you. Google, the giant created by the deep state, has so many tentacles out there now. They have what's called Project Nightingale, and Nightingale and Google are gathering personal health data on millions and millions of Americans without their knowledge or without their consent. So there you go. Back with Henry now and the latest on the vaping crisis. And it continues to be a crisis. Don't let this put you to rest. We're finding out a little bit here. That's about it, but it sounds solid. Go ahead, Henry.
Okay, well, getting back to Oregon, those were a couple examples that kind of did stand out and didn't fit quite into the take-home message of what the CDC found when they looked at these 29 samples, and they were from 10 states, so they were fairly widespread, but, you know, obviously 10 isn't 50.
How many were in Oregon?
Actually, I should take a look at that. I don't think they covered Oregon.
I don't think. I think you're right.
And I know they didn't cover New York, and so they said it was fairly representative because they had 10 different states, but, you know, they obviously didn't have all of the states, and they didn't necessarily have these, cases that kind of stood out. And, Oregon was, you know, an example of two deaths that got their product from the, licensed store. Another example was a case that, was in Nebraska, and that one was fairly widely covered by multiple outlets. And, it was covered when it was first announced, and then it was covered, several weeks later. And what stood out from the, Nebraska case is that, he actually had died in May, and, it was announced, like in October. And the reason it was announced so much after the fact was because, when that patient died, he was 68 years old, and, he was a heavy former smoker, but mm-hmm. he had switched over to vaping for, mm-hmm. for like 5 years before he died. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was kind of in the category of a death that happened before this had really become widely known. So back in mm-hmm. May, there hadn't been any reported deaths. And, right. The number of actual cases back in May were very, very small. In fact, I'm not even sure that any had been reported yet officially. When they went back and had a case definition, they came up with a few cases earlier in this year. But, when this person died in May, the vaping issue really wasn't on the radar. And, what happened in that case was that an acquaintance, you know, knew that he had been vaping. You know, she had seen him vaping like 5 years before he died. And, he went to his wife and said, you know, did you tell the, because now it started to become much more widespread. And so she said, did you tell the doctor that he had been vaping? You know, for actually 5 years before he ended up, you know, going into the hospital and dying. Mm-hmm. And she said no. And so then they contacted the Department of Health. And then they went back and when he had come in, they had taken a CAT scan. So they looked at his CAT scan. And they saw the ground glass opacities, which is characteristic of the vaping. And then they kind of went through, you know, his criteria, and he met the case definition. He had been vaping. He did have, you know, a CT scan that had the characteristic distribution of these ground glass opacities. And these are just regions of the lung where it just mm-hmm. looks fuzzy on the MRI. And his wife said, well, didn't, you know, how do you know that he didn't just die from due to the fact that he had been a heavy smoker? And they said, well, because of what the CAT scan looks like, it didn't have the appearance of somebody that had run into problems because they had smoked a lot and ended up they had originally diagnosed as ARDS, acute respiratory distress syndrome. And I said, well, it was beyond just those symptoms. The CT scan really looked like, these cases that we're seeing in the vaping cases. And he had been vaping. In fact, he'd been vaping for 5 years before he died.
Another question.
Go ahead.
How many of the 39 fatalities have been autopsied and the lungs examined? Do we know?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
How many of the 39 fatalities to date have been autopsied and have the lungs been examined for chemical burn symptoms or ground glass symptoms? Are they doing a thorough job on that? Do we know?
Most Well, that's part of the case definition. The case definition is, in addition to vaping, they have to have either an X-ray, a plain X-ray, or a CT scan. And the CT scan actually says in the case definition that the CT scan would have ground glass opacities. So, I mean, they're well aware of this, and that's what they use to define. Sure. The other part of the definition is that they do not have evidence that the pneumonia is due to an infectious disease. So they run tests for viral pneumonia, you know, the agents that would cause viral pneumonia and the agents that would cause bacterial pneumonia. And they have to be negative for those. If they're negative for those, then they're a confirmed case. If there's some, you know, low level of infection, but not at a level that would cause the type of damage that they would see on X-ray, then then they put them into the probable category. So the numbers that are reported, you know, the 2051, all of those fall into the probable or confirmed category. So they would not have evidence of an infection that would cause what they would see on X-rays or CT scans. And I think a high percentage of them actually are CT scans. So finding this in the confirmed or probable cases is not unusual. I mean, that is what they typically see. And that's why this case was actually classified, you know, after the fact, so much after the fact, because when he originally came into the hospital, they didn't know that he was, you know, had been vaping. They just knew that he was a heavy smoker and he had these symptoms. And they just put on his, original report, just he died from acute respiratory distress syndrome. And then when they looked at the CAT scan, they said, well, this is, you know, exactly what we're seeing in the vaping cases. And so they interviewed his wife, and daughter extensively to see if there was a possibility that he had been taking THC. And she said, nah, he wouldn't touch that stuff.
He wouldn't go near it.
He would do it for nicotine. That they had actually taken a trip to Colorado. He wasn't at all interested in getting anything with THC when they were there. You know, he vaped because he had this nicotine addiction. And he vaped a lot. He said that, you know, he vaped, I don't remember what the number was, but it was like 20 times a day or something like that, 10, 20 times. You know, it was a very high level. And he used to smoke at a high level, too. So she didn't think there was any possibility that he had, you know, switched over to THC because he was he had this craving for the nicotine, and he had it when he was smoking cigarettes. And then for the past 5 years, he's been at a high rate, but vaping a lot. And that is one of the characteristics when they, you know, the other MMWR kind of, did a, you know, people that vaped but didn't get sick versus people that vaped and did, and see what the difference between the two groups were. And the ones that did tended to be younger, and, they tended to, at least five times a day. So they were more frequent users. And they were also tended to have got their product from a casual source. Now, according to this guy's wife, he got all of his, packets from, Walgreens or Walmart. So he was, you know, going locally and getting, nicotine.
Well, you would think that those would be credible products, but maybe not necessarily so. I don't know. Here's a quick story.
Well, no, I doubt the story of the vitamin E acetate is a THC story. So I mean, that's why I say it. these things go hand in hand. So what goes hand in hand with the cases is mm-hmm. that the majority of them are THC. Many of them got their product from a casual source. And the THC is typically vaped at a higher temperature because it's right. on an oil base, which has right. a higher boiling point. So you really have all of those things happening at once. And what is notable about the vitamin E acetate is they found it in all the cases, but they said that one of the reasons they were able to find it, even in cases that were negative for THC, was because it kind of coats the lung and it hangs around. So it's
pretty nasty to even think about that, closing off the microscopic airways with garbage.
Oil, right.
This is really crazy.
And that's what happens. So that they do have shortness of breath and they
have begin to suffocate.
Breathing.
What happens?
Right. And that's kind of what ours is, acute respiratory distress syndrome. They get to a level mm-hmm. where they have trouble breathing and they end up mm-hmm. being rushed to the emergency room. And then they frequently end up on ECMO machines, which basically...
Now that's kind of the machine of last resort. Henry's made the point many times we have here that younger people are the majority of vapors. Now, Yale Medicine just put out a paper a couple of days ago. You may have seen this one, maybe not. Teen vaping linked to more health risks. All right, let me just go down here a little bit. Several months ago, CDC advised people to avoid e-cigarettes while federal and state officials investigate an ongoing nationwide outbreak of severe lung injuries. And we don't know if these lung injuries will reverse themselves over time. We don't know. Severe lung injuries associated with the use of e-cigarettes or vaping products. E-cigarettes and vaping is never safe for young people, youths, or pregnant women, said a CDC doctor. CDC further warned against using any vaping products that contain THC, or buying devices from informed sources, including friends
informal.
And family.
Informal.
There you go.
Right.
Informal. Or modifying and adding substances, you do it yourself, DIY, to e-cigarettes, etc. Now, the other part here, let me find this. Hold on. Talk to your kids. That's not it. Let me find this here. I just had it. Stubborn trend. She mentioned. Okay.
They're
one of the doctors
that even
mentioned
the problem.
Dr. Krishnan Sarin is concerned that most teenagers who vape with nicotine don't know the drug can be damaging to their development. Quote,
right.
We have a lot of evidence showing that the adolescent brain is extremely sensitive to the effects of nicotine, adding that the brain doesn't stop growing until around age 25. Studies have
right.
shown, she said, that nicotine can interfere with memory and attention processing. All right? This is not
right, right.
This is so, not good so, news.
Well, that's what the issue is, and that's why there's so many different aspects that are conflated. And I mean, if you go online, you've got the ones that are saying we vape, we vote, and they're essentially saying leave our vaping alone.
Famous last words. Yeah.
And they're essentially saying that this epidemic is really a drug problem. This has to do with THC. It has nothing to do with nicotine. And, uh-huh. The CDC is saying, well, there are issues with nicotine. And, vaping isn't necessarily the best way to stop, as a substitute to help you stop smoking. There are other things that have undergone, rigorous testing and have shown to be effective at a certain level, and that really hasn't been done with vaping. And the issue is that it's become very popular with, you know, even middle school students, and that's part of the reason for the ban on flavored nicotine products, because the idea was that these companies were actually getting middle school or high school students addicted to nicotine. And, you know, part of it was the marketing, where they were using various flavors that were going to be appealing to teenagers or even middle schoolers. And they were going to be vaping because they liked the flavored products. And then as a side effect of that, they would end up becoming addicted to nicotine. And so they would, you know, turn into, you know, lifelong vapors, if you will. And the issue is that, it's known that nicotine is not good for pregnant women or for, teenagers, because their brain is still developing until they're about 25. And therefore, if they're doing this in high school, even if they're not, you know, ending up in the emergency room because they can't breathe, they're still affecting their brain development. And since the CDC knows that, you know, that the lead is very, you know, significant, that it's 29 out of 29, they can't say that the chemical injury that they're seeing when they look at the patients that come in is actually being caused by the vitamin E acetate. It, you know, it's very possible that the vitamin A acetate is what gets them into the hospital because it coats their lungs and it hangs around, and if they keep using it, and that's a way they can go from the 47% of the product that has vitamin E acetate to 100% of the cases, because, you know, they don't necessarily stick with one product, and they might have some that doesn't have any vitamin E, and then they may, you know, include some product that does have vitamin E, and they end up as positives, because you don't have to have vitamin E every time you vape. You just have to have it, you know, frequently enough to get it in your lungs at a high enough level so that when they do the BAL, they can detect the vitamin E and come up with 29 out of 29 positives. So that's why I say all of these things go hand in hand. The THC, especially from informal sources, goes along with the presence of vitamin E acetate in at least some of the samples. And it also goes along with vaping at a higher temperature, which could end up causing heavy metals to be released from the device, which actually would create those types of chemical burns and those same type of symptoms that are seen in the patients. And so the CDC still doesn't say vaping is safe, you know, for nicotine. They say that, you know, users should consider avoiding all vaping products, including those that are nicotine only. But then they put THC, you know, at a higher level because they've actually, you know, got this vitamin E acetate, and especially in the informal sources, they know there's a fair amount. But they're not really addressing the Oregon patients that got it from a licensed repository, or the case from Nebraska, who at least his wife insisted there's no way he used THC. He was a nicotine smoker. And there's cases in Massachusetts that kind of fall in the same category, that they're older, and they say they're nicotine only. They were doing vaping because they used to smoke cigarettes. And so they're in the group that the vaping is supposed to be helping, that these are former smokers and they have cases that are dead, and they have, you know, what they've been told, and what they've been told is that these cases did not vape THC, they just vape nicotine, and it was because they had been former smokers and they had switched over. So the problem is that those cases can go under the radar fairly easily, and exactly how many cases there are, I mean, we're hearing more about the cases that die because they end up with some write-ups on those cases, and some of them are fairly detailed, like the Nebraska case, and then there's write-ups on the ones in Oregon because, they said that they got theirs from a licensed store, it's legal there, and in spite of, you know, getting it from a licensed source, they still end up with the same symptoms, and in two cases, they not only had the symptoms, they ended up dying. So it's still a complex situation, and the political side is going to get real messy because some states have banned the flavored versions because they think they're just kind of predatory and kind of hooking children. Or,
well, I think there's an argument to be made for that. I agree.
And so they're essentially trying to cut back on that, and the vapors say, well, this doesn't have anything to do with nicotine. This is just THC, and it's a drug problem. It's not a vaping problem. And it's still, at issue whether it's a lower percentage. The stories on Twitter, they say, well, it's the CDC. The CDC never talked about this. And that's just not true. I mean, the very first death, the CDC said that, cannabis was a consideration. So they were indirectly saying that this person was smoking cannabis. And all of the reports they put out basically gives the numbers, how many were THC only, how many were THC and nicotine, how many were nicotine only.
Sure.
And THC has always been the majority of the cases. So anyway, that's where we stand right now. It's going to get real political. I mean, Trump is actually tweeting about it today, what he's going to do, and he's just going to have a meeting with the vaping industry and figure out what
I know,
they
but you know what his solution is? Raise the legal vaping age to 21. Like, that's going to stop teenagers from getting this stuff.
If it's legal,
how about doing some real serious research and funding CDC an extra amount of money to find out what the hell's going on with this? Let's do something practical.
The CDC is putting resources in it, but the problem is it's complex because you've got these different groups. I mean, they need to do more THC testing, urine tests on the ones that deny it, and see if the numbers start going up. They've only done a really, at least what they published, has been very limited.
Yeah.
If they looked at more of those cases and they keep coming up negative, then, it's not limited to the THC. It's a little broader than that.
Very good. So Henry, thank you.
That's where we are. Okay.
Yeah, the best update anywhere in the world on this subject. You're not going to get any better than what Henry provides. Thank you, and we'll keep our eye on it. You be well.
Okay, very well. Take care.
Bye-bye. Good night, Henry. Okay, hold on. We'll take a little top of the hour break and come right back on the other side with the infamous troublemaker, Brother Nathaniel, coming up next.